Well, we're humbled to be up here this morning. We love the Lord. Thank the Lord for the songs that have just been sung. Thank the Lord that He truly is everything that we need. Let's look to the Lord in prayer for a moment before we start. Dear God, we're so thankful for this moment that we have to open Your Word. Lord, not for us to speak, but for You to speak to us and through us, dear God. Lord, help us that You would have Your way by Your Spirit. You would both give the words, but You would also open our hearts. Help us to receive, dear Jesus, we pray. In Your name, amen. There's good news this morning. I want to write a couple of things on the board here. The search is over. The journey has begun. I am thankful this morning that there was a time in my life when I found what I was looking for. And I want to look over here in the Song of Solomon today. If my hands will work. All right. Song of Solomon in the third chapter. It says, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." This Song of Solomon, specifically what we're dealing with here, is the cry of a soul. It's the cry of the heart of man. Here in this verse, the one who's writing is speaking of a condition where there's something missing. Something's missing. I have maybe all these things. It speaks of I'm lying in my bed. I have my room. I have the things that are here. I have my whole house. I have my whatever things I have in my home. We all in our homes have tools. We have different things that we purchase through the years and they're for purposes. And if I have a need, I go and I get that tool, or I get maybe it's something to cook or bake with, or maybe it's something just to keep the house clean, or maybe it's a decoration, or just some special computer or something I use. And all my things that I felt like I needed. I have all these things around, but I'm lying here. And there's something missing. There's a question in my heart. I have all this. What is it? What is it that I'm missing? You know, in Acts, the 17th chapter, you might keep your spot here in the song, in Song of Solomon there, but let's look over in Acts for a moment here and look at what Paul spoke of here in the 17th chapter. You look on down here, he gets into a debate here with the philosophers and all the Stoics there on Mars Hill, and you come down to the 23rd verse. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God," to the thing I'm missing, the thing I can't quite put my finger on. I have all these other statues here, all these other idols, and I offer to all of them. I look to all of them, and it's what, you know, okay, I need this, I need this, I need this. So I'm offering to each one of these things. They all have something I need, and so I'm covering all my bases. And yet, something's missing. You know, that's not something that died in the Old Testament. It's the same story today. I have everything. I've got all my tools. I've got my people. I've got my place. I've got all these things that I could possibly imagine that I might need. But yet, there's a question. There's something out there I'm missing. There's an unknown something I can't put my finger on. Search is over. The Lord has been blessing us this week. He has been feeding our souls. He has been showing us what it is that we need. That thing that goes beyond everything else in this world that you could possibly put your hands on to somehow satisfy your soul. That one thing that you can't go out and buy. That one thing that you can't put your hands on and just see and touch. That one thing that you're missing. We've been hearing about all week. It says, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. This one who was lying in their bed and there was a longing for something more, this is what that longing was. This is what the soul is crying out for. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath. You've been using that life and breath and trying to satisfy the soul it comes from with all the things that are in this world that was created by God. Trying to satisfy what the soul is longing for, which comes from a place that was here before any of those things that you're trying to reach out for. To the one who was here before any of this came. He's the one that gave that life and breath. So my point is this morning, you can keep trying. But there's some things here that have been set up that you really have nothing you can do about except figure out where that source is and come to it. You will never outdo God. You will never figure out how to outdo what He has created and how He has created you. He put the soul in you. He gave you life and breath. And you will never, you can try for the rest of eternity if God allowed. And you would never be able to undo the craving in your soul for its creator. There's no way. This is it. This is where it's found. The only place you can satisfy it. It says, God that made, well, we read that, neither is worship with men's hands, seeing though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and he hath made of one blood. We got so many things going on in the world. So many different ways. We've taken this one blood and divided it and put it into so many different, well, this is what it is. This is what life's about. This is what's life about. This is what's life's about. We've divided up into, there are millions of options. Millions of options. I think I'm pretty safe in saying that. That you can take in this life to decide, well, maybe this is what life's about. Maybe this is what will satisfy me. Maybe this is the thing that will hush that quieting, that craving. That thing when I'm in the quiet of night, lying in my bed, and it's crying out for something more than I'm giving it. I can try, there's millions of ways I can try to satisfy that. But you know what the original was? One. You know what it still is? There's just one who has created it. The blood that runs through our veins, the life that is in us, still comes from one source. And it's God. And there's, what do they say? Like it or leave it or like it or whatever, this is the way it is. There's nothing, look, there's nothing better than it. But let's back up just a step. Let's say, well, we got a problem with it or something. There's nothing we can do. This is it. There's nothing you can do to change it. Your soul will continue to crave for its creator until the end of time. And if you don't find the source that soul's craving for, then you'll remain in that position for all eternity. For the rest of time. For the rest of eternity. You have now, until time ends, to find that which satisfies. You have this time now. When this time is over, you'll remain in your condition for all eternity if you don't find it. Well, let's read a little more here. Had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him. You don't have to remain in the condition you're in. If your soul is craving this morning something more, if you realize that, you know, this isn't cutting it, no matter what I do, there's still a hole in my life. There's still when I go to bed at night, there's still a longing, there's still a separation, there's still something that's not quite right. There's something that I can't put my finger on, maybe. Or maybe you know. And maybe you're just resisting it. This is the source that your soul was created to seek after. And nothing will change till the end of the time about that. There is no other source you can go to. This is it. Because you were created this way. Mankind was created to seek after the Lord. If haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. I thank God for where I grew up. I thank God that I grew up hearing truth and that I had something, how do we say it, just beautiful? How do we say just precious? It cannot be exceeded. And its worth and its value to me, even when it's not beautiful, it's beautiful. Even though maybe it doesn't seem so precious, it's precious. It proves itself out time and again that it is what satisfies my soul. It did not just satisfy me the night when I met the Lord at the altar. I think I'm going to speak something that pretty much everybody here who knows the Lord could raise their hand and testify to. It did not just satisfy me that night. It did not just satisfy me in my youth in Christ, in my newborn status as a Christian. It did not just satisfy me as I grew up a little bit and began to learn some things. It still is satisfying me today. It still is meeting my needs and the new situations that arise in my life and the struggles that I have. Yep. The struggles I still have. He meets that need. He's proven it again and again, and He's doing it still in my life, that He is that source that my soul longs for. When everything seems to crash down, when everything seems... You know what? All these things are crumbling, but I've found what my soul is longing for. For in Him we live and move and have our being. So this one back here in Song of Solomon, the third chapter, says, I sought Him and I found Him not. So what do you do? Well, thank the Lord. This morning, at least those who are here have done something. You've come out to church. You've come out where you know the Lord has an opportunity to speak to you in another way. Now, He can speak to you at home. He can speak to you as you open your Bible. He can speak to you wherever you are. He is living, breathing. We do not sustain Him. He sustains us. But you've taken the effort to be out here this morning. So you've done more than just lie in your bed and say, woe is me. You've already put forth some effort. So, not to get too far ahead, but don't stop. Don't stop here. You found, this is it. Not me. Not anyone else who might have stood up here. Not even us. We do not sustain Him. He sustains us. But you're in a place where the Lord can speak to you. And as He's calling on your heart, listen to Him. And I will tell you, I'll go ahead, I've mentioned this maybe one time before, but if the Lord's calling on your heart and you need to pray, you don't even have to wait until I finish. I will sit down as soon as the Lord finishes what He's put on my heart. But you don't have to wait. No one's going to say, whoa, wait a minute, turn around, go back. And we're going to talk about this in a minute, but if you can see that you have found what your heart is longing for, that it's here, if you want to come and pray, you can come on. No one will forbid you. All right? But this person here, they didn't just lie in their bed. The soul here. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth, whom my soul longeth for. I will go find Him. I'm not just going to sit here and say, woe is me. I'm going to search for Him. And so he went and searched. I sought Him, but I found Him not. And the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. And I held him and would not let him go. Thank the Lord that you didn't, if you've got that craving, you didn't stay at home and just say, woe is me. I've just got a hole in my life. And oh Lord, that we could get that message out to souls. Yes, it's about redemption. It's about risk. But all of that's about filling that hole that is in your life. Filling it up. Making it where when all of a sudden you had maybe everything out here, but you didn't have it here. And now you've got this here, and when everything crumbles out here, you're like, wow, I sure don't feel like I felt before. And I had so much more around me. But now I've got the one thing I need.
Yes.
The one thing I need for eternity. Remember how if I don't find that right now, and I'm separated from it, if I find it and I hold on to it, He's going to hold on to me. It's not that hard, y'all. If we're determined, the Lord's made a way. Then this is my condition for the rest of eternity. Right now, I can make a decision that fills that need. And I know that there's a security in it by the power and the grace of God as I am determined to allow Him to work in my life, that this can be my condition for the rest of eternity. What a hope's in me. Oh, there's some things going on. Oh, this is going on. A struggle's got me down. But you know what? I still got that. I still got peace in my soul. I still got the Lord right here. I still got that. And this is going to remain for eternity. All these other things, well, they're just what I have to walk through in life. They're what God allows. But this that I've got inside me, the search is over. The journey's begun and it doesn't end. It's me and the Lord. For the rest of eternity. Oh, thank the Lord. You know, it says there's a song in our hymnal that we've sung a couple of times. It's number 55. Well, maybe we just sang it. Well, we did. We sang it once in Young People's and then once here. That's why I remember twice. The bondage of love. For years. Oh, I would that no one had to do that for years, but this is the story of a lot of our lives.
Yes.
Even those of us who come up around the truth.
Yes.
For years my soul wrestled with vague discontent. What's the question? Something's missing. What is it? What's missing in my life? Something's just not quite there. That like a sad angel o'ershadowed my way. God's light in my soul. You know, this we think about this sometimes too much churchy, a little too churchy. This is very personal to our soul. For years, God's light in my soul with the darkness was blent, and my heart ever longed for an unclouded day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My soul is now free, for the precious blood of Jesus cleanseth even me. Oh, thank the Lord. You know what that, the joy in that, like I said, I grew up in the truth, but there was a vague discontent. There was a darkness with the light that I had been provided. And there came a moment where the Lord shone in my heart and the change that is made in your life. Wherever you come from, you can experience the same thing. Because you're in the same situation. There's hardly a person in this room that hasn't heard something about God. I'm gonna just step out there a little bit, and I believe the Bible will prove this out. I believe the truth is that whether you've been in church at all before this moment, that the Lord has been shining His light in your life, has been reaching for you, because He doesn't just love the people who come to church. You are all His. You are just, if you have never darkened the doors of a sanctuary of a church anywhere, you are just as much His child as I am. You may be lost, just like I was lost, just like everyone here was lost at one time. But you can be found. You can be found in Him. You can have the same thing. And the Lord's light has been reaching for you just as hard as it reached for me or anyone else in here. He loves you just as much. Hallelujah, hallelujah, my soul is now free, for the precious blood of Jesus cleanseth even me. Let's turn over to John 3:16. For God so loved everybody who came to church. He doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. He does love his people. Don't misunderstand me. But it says, for God so loved the world. We could line up all the creation and all of humankind. Let them all tell us where they came from. And this verse applies to every single one of them. All of us. We are all his people. We are all his children. I want to say this right so you don't misunderstand me. There are those of us who are lost, and there are those of us who are found. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. Thank the Lord. That whosoever believeth in him. Remember what I said? If you're hearing the message and you've been here all week, but there's a click that needs to happen in you. There's a moment where you say, you know what? I'm not going to be able to handle this. I'm not going to be able to do this. Lord, I believe in you. I believe. All right. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Every message, every bit of light that has gone out has one purpose. To rescue the world from destruction. To rescue the world and to bring all of mankind who will back into fellowship with their Creator. Back to that place where that hole in the middle of your life is filled by the only thing that can fill it. Says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You know what? If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you've got problems. If you're sitting here this morning and you know Jesus, you've got problems. We all do. The difference is finding the source that meets the need of those issues and those problems in our life. That's what makes the difference. It's not that well, I'm just going to leave that with you like that. You're sitting here without Jesus, you've got problems. You're sitting here with Jesus, you've got problems. But the difference is finding the source that meets those needs and those issues. And his name is Jesus. He is the Son of God who was sent to save the world. He that believeth not is condemned already. You'll have no hope. It's not about somehow managing to fix your problems or sort your problems out, or are your problems worse than other problems? Can you do more about your problems than somebody else? It all comes down to that moment where you say, you know what? I will believe. I will believe in Jesus. That's what makes the difference. The Christian, the soul that is saved, did not figure out how to sort all his problems out and be a good person. No! And anywhere you see that, there's a huge problem there. Because only Christ can sort those problems out, and only He can change them. We have to come in faith, putting those things in, believing that He is the one that can save me. And this is a message to the soul that's lost, but you know, it's a message to us as children of God. Lord, help us not to get off center here, to forget. In the midst of all my situations and my problems, there's only one source that can meet those needs and that can do something about them. Let me not try to sort them out. Let me bring them to Jesus. My struggles, my temptations, my failures, whatever they are, let me bring them to Jesus, because He is the only one who can do anything about them. Because He's condemned already because He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. See, here's the struggle. Here's where light comes and people fall short of it. Sometimes we get in that situation and we want to blame the light. Well, the light's just, you're just picking me apart. You're just showing all my failure. I mean, how can I exist? How can I stand before God? Well, no, you can't. We want to blame the light and just move away from it. But you know what we're really doing there? It's what this next verse kind of talks about. This is the condemnation. This is what condemns you. This is it. Your failures, all these things, they don't condemn you. Who can stand in the light of God? Who can stand up in the light of God, shine on their life, and God go, wow, looky here. Man, you're pretty perfect. I don't see anything on you. My light can't make anything. Listen, if somehow that image is, there isn't anybody in here like that this morning. The light's not there to see if we're perfect or not. The light is there to show us our need of a Savior, our need for Him to work in our life. We are sanctified for Him to work on us. If we were perfect, there's no need to work on us. No need. He'd just show us off, put us in a shiny little trophy case on the wall and say, look at this. Look at this. Check Him out. That's not the way it is. So this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. This is the condemnation. The light shines on your life and you refuse to believe that God can do something about it, and that's the route you should take. Instead, you hold back either out of unbelief or out of, you know what, I don't want to let go of these things. I don't want to let the Lord work in my life. That's what stands in the way of the Lord meeting your needs. That is the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. Oh no, I want to cling to this. I want to stay in this darkness, in this place. I want to hold on to these things. Yeah, I've got a hole in my heart. Yeah, no, they're not meeting the needs. Yeah, I'm miserable, but I don't want to let go. I don't want to open up and confess like we talked about. I don't want to lay it all before the Lord and let Him do something about it. I don't want Him to have a chance to bring His joy into my life. Joy unspeakable. Filled with glory. What sounds bad about that? Why would I hold on? Oh, Lord, help us. Just pray for light, for vision to see the joy that the Lord has for us. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The element here is not that we come and show how perfect we are, but we come to the light. And that's where God can work on us. And as He does that, that's revealed. Because one simple decision, we saw the light, we decided to come to it, we decided to believe in it, and allow it to shine on our life and give the Lord opportunity to work. The Lord's not going to work in darkness. He's going to shine His light out there, and you're going to have to be willing to come to it. Sinner and saint. The Lord's going to work in your life. You're going to have to be willing. He'll shine His light out there, but you're going to have to be willing to come to that light, confess it, say, yes, Lord, you're right, that's me. And Lord, I'm not asking you to do anything. The Lord's not asking you to do anything that He doesn't ask everybody to do. This is for everybody. This morning, okay? He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 8. Chapter of John, in the first verse, says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. A very important point here is that there's no doubt this is sin. This is not uncertain. This is not, well, we got a little bit of proof here. We don't really know what happened. We know the truth. This is out and out sin. You got failures in your life? They're not any more plain than this. This is as plain as it gets. All right? And this woman was brought to Jesus. It says, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And I just see Jesus. You know, the world wants to condemn you. That Satan is really who's behind that. Yep. He's trying to say, you. Who do you think is going to want you? Who do you think is going to want to help you? God, are you serious? God, you think God wants to help you after you did that? You knew that was wrong. You think God wants to help you now? I see Jesus smiling, saying, thank y'all very much. Thank you for bringing her here so I can teach y'all something. So I can show you what I'm bringing to the world. Thank you. So now and Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though they heard him not. So when they continued asking him, don't you see how hideous this person is? Don't you see they deserve to be stoned right here? That this is what the law says should happen to them. He lifted himself up and said, okay, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now we're fixing to read, but you know there's one person there that could have thrown that stone. And his name is Jesus. But let's see what happens. All right. When they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Jesus and the sinner. You know, that's what it is this morning. Whatever's in your life, whatever the situation, all the noise around you that Satan's trying to put around you, the condemnation he's trying to put at you around you. You know who you're dealing with this morning? You're dealing with Jesus. And he has a way, if you'll let him, of putting all the noise to side. And you know what? He can do it sometimes when you're not even, you're kind of struggling against it. Whatever the case may be, he has a way of putting all the noise to the side. And he looked up. Jesus lifted himself up and saw none but the woman. He said unto woman, where are these thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Nobody but her and Jesus. And here's what he said. Neither do I condemn thee. But he had another message. The search is over. I've found the one that my soul longs for. I found the one that doesn't sit here with the world and say, there's no hope for you. You're worthless. You knew better than to do that. You knew you shouldn't have done that. You really think I'm going to... That's the world. This is Jesus. Neither do I condemn thee. The search is over. I found the one who loves past all things that I might could have done. I don't know. Maybe I feel it's amazing, the grace and mercy of Jesus. And this is who he is. This, I want to make sure this is who he is. This is what he's offering to you this morning. Okay? Search is over. The journey has begun. Neither do I condemn thee. You're my child. I've longed for this day that you would stand before me one to one. With all the noise swept away, I've longed for this day. I don't turn you away. This is what Jesus is saying in this time, in these words as much. Not, well, basically this is what he's saying. Neither do I condemn thee. I don't turn you away. I offer you my salvation. I offer you my healing for that spot in your life. That's what I offer to you. And now I tell you, go and sin no more. The search is over. The journey has begun. And it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Jesus isn't absolving you of whatever's happening to leave you over here in this position with questions in the hole in your heart. He's offering his salvation and the cleansing of this to give you something better, to give you light, to give you hope, to give you a relationship with him, to answer the need of your soul, to fill the need of your soul. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's look in John the 12th chapter. Pray for us. I know it's starting to get a little late here. We'll do our best to share this quickly. In the 44th verse of this chapter, it says, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but him that sent me." Jesus did not come on his own. He came to restore us to a relationship with God. Sin separated us from God, from the one who could fill the hole in our soul, from our Creator. Sin separated us. There wasn't a way, no matter what, until Jesus came to fill that need in the soul of man. There were only a certain pattern he had given them to follow. But none of that could answer and really fill that need in our souls. All right? Jesus did not come of his own. He came to restore us to that one who we belonged with from the beginning of time. That's what he came for. "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that seeth me. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Jesus saying here, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." You're not stuck in that position. No one is. That's a lie of the devil that's propagated throughout the Christian, so to speak, world. That somehow we're just absolved and we're left, just like they were in the Old Testament, in this position. What in the world did Jesus come for? If it was just to leave us there, he could have waited to the end of time and just said, "Okay, here, I'm going to come make the sacrifice now. Everybody's done. Let's go to heaven." It's obvious that he came for something more than just to forgive us. His word says it. And it doesn't even make sense. Do you think the Lord would have just done something that doesn't make sense? Watched his son die on the cross? To just do something that could have just been done at the end of time? And then, you know, everybody's absolved from day one? Doesn't make any sense. He came to give us a new life. Here on earth, in this place, he came for us. We are the reason for creation. God had the angels, but he wanted a people who in holiness and righteousness would walk before him all the days of their life. He gave all those thousands of years and all the lives and everything that went on in the Old Testament to the point where Jesus came and gave his life just so we could have new life. So we could live a life here in connection with our God, with his presence in our life. "I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save it." I think we've touched on that enough, but that's what the Lord wants to do this morning. He's not coming to judge you. He's coming to save you, saint or sinner. He's coming to save you, to deliver you, and to keep you. It's what he came for. "If anyone hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my word, has one that judgeth him. The word I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I've not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting." I can have this for the rest of eternity. All right? "Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, I speak. I know that his commandment is life everlasting." Let's turn back to the 35th verse of this chapter. It says, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light." This is the message. This morning, whatever God, the pull he's putting on your heart, that's his light shining on your heart, showing you what you need. Now's the time to move. Now's the time to come. Look, this is a wonderful place. Whatever you do, come to Jesus. Do not hold back from his light. Do not recede back from it. You're making a choice in that. A choice to stay in darkness. A choice to stay in the place where the need of your soul will never be met. Where you will live the rest of your life. As long as you hold back in that darkness, you will live in a place where that hole in your heart will never be anything that can be done about it. as long as you hold back in this position, and then you will stay there for the rest of eternity. And it gets worse. It's not just separation from God. It's a place of punishment. It's a place of fire, brimstone. It says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Saint or sinner, do not pull back from the light of God shining on your life. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. He would never do that. That's what it says right there. Now the Lord doesn't want to hide. Don't misunderstand the statement. But the message here, and I almost believe this is why Jesus did it, is to impress on them, when you see the need, that's the time to get something done about it. Don't hang back thinking you'll do something about it in the next week, the next month, the next year. That doesn't work. The way He's created, He knows because He created us, that that's not a good way to do things. That's not going to work. While you have the light, walk in the light, that you may be children of the light. You know, I got a picture this morning. We're going to turn to 1 John, the first chapter, and we'll finish up there. But this morning I was just thinking about how the sun comes up in the morning. You know, and right at first, if you're trying to maybe read something outside and you go outside when the sun first comes up, you probably still, you're looking at it and you're like, well, there's letters on the page. I may or may not be able to read it depending on how good of eyes, how many carrots I've been eating or something like that. You know, how good my eyes are, maybe I can read it, maybe I can't. But the longer that sun comes up, the brighter something gets. Oh, okay. Now I can see the story here. I can see clearly what it's talking about. Oh, that's good. I think I'll just sit here and just kind of wait a little while. And I'm going to read this a little bit later. This looks like a good story. This looks like a good thing to dig into here. I'm going to wait a little while. And the sun comes up to full noon and it's all bright. And you think, well, I'm going to wait a little longer. Sun starts moving across the sky. It's 3 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock. No, it's still pretty bright. I can still see. I think I'll wait a little bit longer. You know, there's a time where the sun goes down. It starts getting to be evening time, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, hold on. Ooh, I can't see as good. What does it say? Oh, I should have read it during the day. I should have read it while I had the light. While the light was here, I should have done something about it then. I should have looked. I wanted to read this story. I wanted to know what it was really about. But I can't see it anymore. Do you know God created the world to work in a way that we can understand how we ought to interact with Him, that He is, and how we ought to interact with Him? It's a lesson right there. Now's the time. As soon as you can see it clearly. It's coming on the page. Coming. Okay, I see that. Now's the time to read. Now's the time to act. In one place, Jesus said, work while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, walk while it's day. Walk to the Lord. Walk in the light He's showing on your life. 1 John, the first chapter. All right, in the fourth verse. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The Lord's not trying. We say this because this is how our human minds work, and this is how the devil tempts us. I don't think there's a person in life who the devil hadn't told, you're going to be miserable if you take that step. You believe in that Lord and Savior, you know that one talks about all that love and all that joy unspeakable, and you're going to be miserable. The Lord hadn't said you couldn't eat of this tree. You're going to be miserable if you go for Him. That's a lie, y'all. Obviously, I don't. All we can do is tell you it's a lie. And saint, sinner, it's a lie. The devil's lying to you. Whatever it is, if you're a sinner and you haven't even started this experience, if you're a saint, you're struggling with maybe something God's shining on, and the devil's bringing that same message back to you, you're not going to be happy if you let go of this. Yeah, he tempts saints that way too, y'all. He tries anything he can. But these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the inspired word of God. This is his purpose. He has no other purpose. I talked about telling my children, and I'm a very fallible dad. I'll just say that. But with all my heart, if I'm going to teach my children something, if I'm going to correct them, if I'm going to shine the light on something in their life, I pray to God that he helps me make sure it's strictly so that their joy can be full. Now you say, well, you're just trying to spoil them. No, I mean real joy. I mean real joy. I mean if it's patience and sitting back and being not getting to go when they want to go, but that's what's going to bring joy, that's what's going to help them in their walk with the Lord, then that's what I want to do. That's the Lord. That's the heart of the Lord, and he's not fallible. Sometimes I have to go back and tell my kids, well, you know what? I probably messed up on that one. That one might have been more about me than you. But the Lord's not that way. He's coming for you. He's coming that your joy may be full. All right? This then is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and hold back in the darkness, hold back from what he's shining on, hold back from where he's saying, you know what? That's not really like Christ to the saint this morning. That's not really like Christ. You know, you can get to thinking sometimes, well, I'm saved, sanctified. If I can be a little rough or whatever. But the Lord says that's not like Christ. That it's not like Christ, no matter how much of a saint you are and how long you've been one. It's still not like Christ. And there's not any more excuse, but there's less excuse for me as a child of God with the Spirit of God in my life than there is for a sinner. There's less excuse for me. If we walk in darkness, we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We hold back. We're not willing to let the Lord's light and then say, yes, Lord, that's me. Help me and show me how to go. Then we walk in darkness. We lie. Do not truth. But if we walk in the light, this new life with Christ, oh, he's shown me everything. What was the woman at the well said? He's told me everything I ever did. And you're happy about it? Yeah, she was. She was thrilled. There has to be, there's something about this that's good. You know, if someone, just sinner on sinner, you come and start telling me everything I'm doing wrong, there's fixing to be a problem. I mean, just in humans, as who we are. But she said, this is the man who told me everything I've ever done. Come see him. He's wonderful. We got to go see this. This is strange. Oh, but we walk in the light as he is in light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what this life is about. It's about realizing, you know what? As a sinner, I need his salvation. I need his cleansing. As a saint, I need his cleansing. I need his work in my life. I need him to shine on me, to show me what's needed, to show me the seeds, the roots, the different things that maybe are in my life that I have no way of knowing. This man told me everything about myself. Tell me, Lord, as David said, show me, search me, see if there be anything in me that's not like you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I'm changing the words, but this is what it says. Show me if there's been anything that's not like you. And then lead me in the way everlasting. This is what the Lord's offering to you this morning. This is the path of salvation. There's no other way it works. They are not optional doctrines. This is the word of the Lord. This is the way it works. You want his joy in your life. You want that. You want to find the one that your soul longeth for. You want to hold on to him, to have that joy in your life. Walk in the light with him. Let him have his way with you. Let him point out what he needs to point out. Let him show you what he needs to show you for the purpose that your joy might be full. This is the way to have joy. I want to just leave you with this little bit, and I'm going to sit down. You don't have, sinner, you don't have to be lost. You don't have to have that hole in your life. Right now today, without any knowledge of how to answer the questions, the Lord can take care of everything. Without any knowledge by us of how to answer the questions, the Lord himself, if you come up here just between you and him, he can take care of it. He can tell you what needs to be said. And saint, the Lord can do the same thing for you. Whatever the situation is in your life, the Lord can meet that need right now, here today. You pray for me.